This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Curbside recycling programs are everywhere these days, but the very first one is actually Canadian. What we now know as the Blue Box program actually started in 1981 in Kitchener. From there, the system was adopted across the province, country, and internationally. On October 19th, the Ontario government announced its next steps to revamp the province's Blue Box program. They're making quite a few changes, so I spoke with Ashley Wallace of Environmental Defence Canada to learn about how plastic is and isn't recycled, what these changes mean for Torontonians, and what's missing from the draft Blue Box regulations that are currently posted for public feedback now until December 2nd, 2020. The management and funding of the program is currently shared by municipalities and producers. Producers are the companies that create the packaging and products that end up in our curbside blue boxes, and right now they're responsible for up to 50% of the program. Now, the provincial government is proposing that the blue box program is the sole responsibility of producers. This approach is called the Extended Producer Responsibility System and would come into effect in 2026, with some changes by 2030. To start, Ashley tells me what the act of recycling looked like when the Blue Box program was originally introduced 40 years ago.
The majority of the materials in there were glass, metal, and paper. And glass and metal can be recycled over and over and over again with really no loss of quality. With paper, you can also recycle it numerous times, and then eventually it can be composted.
She says that the materials in our Blue Boxes today are quite different.
Plastics are not the same. Every time you recycle them, there is a loss of quality. The polymers break down. And so that means we can only recycle them maybe once or twice. Usually they don't even get recycled into the same kinds of products. They're downcycled into things like textiles, so clothing or carpeting. And then eventually that material is sent to landfill. And the amount of plastic in our blue box has increased substantially over the last couple of decades. And that's really just changed the entire economics of the system as well.
When it comes to the provincial government's proposal, Ashley explains that the extended producer responsibility system isn't the issue, but higher material-specific targets are needed to create a real impact this way. In the current proposal, there are six material categories: paper, glass, metal, rigid plastic, flexible plastic, and non-alcoholic beverage containers. Producers will have to achieve a management requirement, a total number of blue box materials that they'll divert, based on the weight of blue box materials that they've put into the environment. Ashley is the plastic program manager at Environmental Defence Canada, so we talk about the role of plastics in the recycling conversation and this specific proposal.
My issue is if the best we can do by 2030 is to recycle 40% of the black bags, wraps, and films on the market, then that shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be to actually phase out these materials. The target for rigid plastic, so things like shampoo bottles, laundry detergent containers, is not much better. It's 60% by 2030. And I think really like establishing those as the most aggressive targets we can achieve basically just acknowledges the fact that this material isn't actually recyclable.
She explains that even categorizing plastics as rigid and flexible is an issue. It gives producers too much flexibility on how they'll achieve these targets. And it doesn't incentivize producers to minimize waste through innovative packaging or material, which is at the core of the extended producer responsibility system.
With plastics, they have really aggregated the targets. So there's a target for flexible plastics, as I said, which is for things like bags and wraps and like multi-layer pouches, things you would get frozen fruit in at the grocery store. And then there's a target for rigid plastics, things like shampoo containers, etc. The challenge with them not only setting low targets, but setting targets to such broad material categories is it makes it quite simple for producers to avoid materials that are challenging to recycle altogether. So a lot more stuff is supposed to go into the blue box in this regulation, but there really is no guarantee that every item will be recycled. And so if producers can achieve a 60% recycling target for rigid plastics just by going after things like laundry detergent bottles and shampoo bottles, which they're already pretty good at capturing recycling without having to go after things like plastic cutlery and styrofoam cups, which we know are particularly problematic in the environment, there really isn't the incentive for them to manage those materials which are problematic.
This is what Ashley would like to see instead.
There really should be a target for every single plastic type. So if you look at the bottom of a container, there's like the little loop that we all think means this is recyclable, but it doesn't. It just tells you what kind of plastic it is. There's numbers 1 through 7, and there should be a target for each number to make sure that we are encouraging producers to either figure out an efficient way to manage this material, or if they can't, then to transition to materials that they can efficiently collect, recycle, or reuse.
I asked Ashley what these changes mean financially for Torontonians, since the provincial government says that municipalities will be saving money when 100% of these blue box costs are taken on by producers. And wouldn't producers increase the price of their products to account for that?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is they probably are going to pass those costs on to consumers. That tends to be what they do when there's any additional regulatory fee or tax imposed on them. And this will obviously be a fee to manage a recycling system. However, there have been some crazy numbers put out there about how much of a change we'll see in terms of pricing on typical grocery store items. And I will not be that significant. I imagine it will probably be like maybe a couple dollars over people's bills over the course of several months. They already cover half of the cost of this program. So we're only talking about them covering the other half as well.
Ashley and I mostly spoke about plastics and how they relate to this draft blue box proposal. But there are so many details to consider, like stronger timelines and ensuring that there are no loopholes that would allow companies to deny recycling service to hard to reach communities. To learn more about Environmental Defense Canada, the draft Blue Box proposal, or submit a comment to the provincial government, visit the CGRU website.
Recycling should really be a last-ditch effort to keep something out of the landfill. And with many of our products, it is the only thing we attempt to do to manage waste. Recycling has essentially given people the false impression that single-use disposability is okay. And a lot of what we're seeing in terms of regulation at the provincial and the federal level right now is, okay, well, let's just figure out how we can recycle better. But as I've said, plastics can't actually be recycled in the same way that other materials can. There is a loss of quality. And so, yeah, maybe we could improve the amount of material we're collecting and recycle it once or twice more, but eventually all of this material is destined for landfill or incinerators. So I think we need to really shift away from plastics, move back towards alternative materials like glass and metal, and actually prioritize the top of the waste hierarchy. So we want to prioritize reduction overall, and then reuse, and then repair and refurbishment, and all the way at the bottom should be recycling.
This is Sam Darmacena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.